For behold, if Adam had put forth his hand immediately and partaken of the tree of life, he would have lived forever, and the great plan of salvation would have been frustrated, for that would destroy the great plan of happiness. Therefore, according to justice, the plan of redemption could not be brought about only on conditions of repentance of men in this probationary state. And now the plan of mercy could not be brought about except an atonement should be made. Alma chapter 42, verses 5, 8, 13, and 15. Hello, listeners. This is Nick from Book of Mormon Central. And today's podcast addresses the question, why are there so many different names for the plan of salvation? For centuries, a misunderstanding about God and the nature of his relationship to mankind prevailed. As Mormon historian Matthew McBride explained, since the 5th century, Christian orthodoxy had imposed an almost impassable gulf between the Creator and his creations. Humankind, Christians came to believe, was created from nothing. God was not a craftsman who refashioned existing materials, but wholly different and apart from his creation, mysterious and unknowable. Then on May 6, 1833, all that misunderstanding melted away in the face of a revelation to the prophet Joseph Smith, now known as Doctrine and Covenants, Section 93. This revelation, and others like it, showed people that they were literal spirit children of God who had lived with him in the premortal realm, and that God had a plan for them to return to his presence to be like him. The Doctrine and Covenants never gives a name to this plan that God put in place for his children. The Book of Mormon, however, refers to it by many names: the merciful plan of the great Creator, the plan of our God, the great and eternal plan of deliverance from death, the plan of redemption, the great plan of the eternal God, the plan of restoration, the plan of happiness, the plan of mercy, and the plan of salvation. A careful examination of each of these names can help people to better understand God's plan for his children. Some names for the plan, such as the plan of our God and the great plan of the eternal God, serves as reminders that God himself put the plan in place, and the plan must therefore be followed. For example, Amulek taught, according to the great plan of the eternal God, there must be an atonement made, or else all mankind must unavoidably perish. Yea, all must perish, except it be through the atonement, which it is expedient should be made. Other names, such as the merciful plan of the great Creator and the plan of mercy, show the benevolence of God in creating a plan to deal with forces such as death and sin that would otherwise hold eternal sway. As Alma explained to his son, to bring souls unto repentance, that the great plan of mercy may have claim upon them. Names like the great and eternal plan of deliverance from death and the plan of restoration show that the plan ensures that all people will be resurrected. Alma said that the plan of restoration is requisite with the justice of God, for it is requisite and just, according to the power and resurrection of Christ, that the soul of man should be restored to its body. One name stands out as the most common name for the plan in the Book of Mormon, the plan of redemption. It appears in 15 different verses of the Book of Mormon. This name reminds readers that the plan offers redemption from sin and death. Alma, for example, taught that if it had not been for the plan of redemption, which was laid from the foundation of the world, there could have been no resurrection from the dead. He went on to explain, God did call on men in the name of his Son, this being the plan of redemption which was laid, saying, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, then will I have mercy upon you through mine only begotten Son. The two most common names for the plan today are plan of happiness and the plan of salvation. These names demonstrate that even though parts of the plan are difficult to live up to, its ultimate objective is humanity's happiness and salvation. Alma declared that repentance could not come unto men except there were a punishment affixed opposite to the plan of happiness. The different names for the plan show how all-encompassing it is. Doctrine and Covenants section 93 states that truth is knowledge of things as they are, and as they were, and as they are to come. This is what a knowledge of the plan imparts: knowledge of what humanity is now, where they came from before, and where they will be going after this life. The names for this plan in the Book of Mormon provide a rich and expansive view of the purpose of life, but also reveal some of the attributes of God. The great plan of the Father is all the things its names imply, the one greatest whole, not just a few of its parts. Yet these names also reveal the true nature of God in all its richness and fullness. Because God the Father himself put the plan in place, the plan is guaranteed to be implemented, and people can have complete faith in God that he will keep his promises. Because the plan allows all people to be resurrected, people can confidently know that death is not the end. Because the plan shows the mercy of God, faithful people can have faith that God's mercy will never fail them. Because the plan provides a sure way of redemption from sin and death, people can have hope that they can be freed from the evils of mortality. Because the ultimate objective of the plan is humanity's happiness and salvation, people can make it through difficult times, knowing that with God's help, all things will work together in the end for their good. Joseph Smith's revelations, in conjunction with the Book of Mormon, give an expansively broad view of God's plan and of humanity's place in the universe. Knowledge of the many different facets of the plan can provide comfort and hope in a complex world that appears at times to be chaotic. But people's spirits existed together before they came into this mortal and temporal state on earth, and they will continue to exist and to thrive one with another after this stage of being, on into eternity, worlds without end. As Joseph Smith declared, "The soul, the mind of man, where did it come from?" The learned says, "God made it in the beginning," but it is not so. "I know better. God has told me so. You who mourn the loss of friends are only separated for a moment." Thank you for listening. To find out more, please visit BookofMormonCentral.org and then click on Know Why.